Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. It's good to be here today. How about you? Eight of you. What about the rest of you? Good for y'all to be here too? That's great. There was a word that came through Amy Harden, and it's this. It said, the Lord is not coming back after what is broken. He's already here taking care of the broken. He's coming back for the glorious. But anyway, he's not coming back for the broken, but after people that have been restored, and he is doing that now. We need to understand that he's coming back for a glorious church. He's not coming back for a harem. He's not coming back for this one, that one, that one, that one, that on that corner, that on that street. He's not coming for that one. He's coming for one glorious bride. Are you part of that bride? Are you part of you the bride? Amen. Thank you, Amy, for sharing that with us. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today, about the, and Lisa was on it, about the miracles of Christmas. But we're going to go sort of a little bit of direction. We're going to be in the same passage that we was in last night, and last week, where Brother Austin was Wednesday, and that's in Luke 1. But the thing we're going to learn today is when we hear about the things of miracles and Christmas, or we just think about miracles in general, what do we learn from them? Do we learn just knowledge? We have knowledge that it has a miracle, or is it just a doctrine that we're building? Is it just a teaching? You know, it is all of that, but that's not all it is. A miracle is all of that, but that's not all it is. A miracle is another example for us to live by. See, this is a book not just to know. This is a book to live by. If we can't live this book, then there's something wrong with us, right? So he wants us to live in life with his presence, and because it's all about a relationship with him, not about religion. See, nobody is impressed with the religion. Has anybody ever been impressed with religion? I mean, no, even the people that's in religion are not even impressed. They're miserable. How do I know that? I have been there. But God wants us to have a relationship with him that we embrace everything about him. And he is a miracle-producing God. Amen? And we need to be able to live with him with that capacity that he does miracles. He even gives gifts as miracles. That's what the Bible says. He gives gifts, miracles. He works the miracles through the people. But anyway, let's go here because we've got some things to cover. But it says in Luke 1:13, it says the angel Gabriel came to Zacharias. He told him, don't be afraid. Your petition has been heard. I'm going to pause just for a moment. This word petition is not just a prayer. No, you have prayed and I've heard you. He didn't say your prayer has been heard. He said your petition has been heard. A petition is you asking, you going before the one and only true God and the true judge of all heaven and earth, and you're asking him for something that is rightfully yours. That's a petition. Okay. Sometimes we need to make those petitions. Because the enemy wants to hold back, wants us to hold back and be held back. But our petition is knowing we're going before God, the one true God, the one true judge of all the earth. And we're saying, okay, this is rightfully mine and I'm asking for it. I'm asking for that to come about. But now, we do not hold God hostage for wanting a miracle. We don't hold him hostage or put him in a box that he has to do this and he has to do that. No, we just trust him to do. That's what trust and faith and belief is all about. You trust him to do. Even though you don't see it, you know it's coming. Even though you don't see it coming, you know it's coming. Amen. You know, we sing that song, said, what is that, Charlie? Even though I can't see it, what? He's working. Even though I don't see him working, he's working. Even though I can't see it, he's doing it. So we do not walk by sight. We walk by faith. If we only walk by sight, then we have to see everything before we'll believe anything. And he wants us to walk by faith. Even though we don't see it, we're standing for it, standing in him, and he's going to do the work. You know, we can't do anything anyway. Have you ever realized that we don't know what we're doing? I've got 3 hands, 4 hands, 5, 6. Do I have more? You know, right? Really? And, you know, it's okay because nobody else knows either. You know, but he knows everything that's going on, and he knows how to do it. All we have to do is surrender to him, and he'll do it through us. Okay. Anyway, Gabriel shows up, says, don't be afraid. Your petition's been heard. Elizabeth's going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. Verse 14 said, and you'll have joy and gladness. And this is talking about the John family. John, y'all got joy and gladness?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, they're living the dream, right? And many will rejoice because of his birth. They're talking about John the Baptist. And so there's a miracle. An angel shows up. Here's another miracle. Gabriel shows up and in verse 26, and he is sent by God to talk to Mary. And he said, hail, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Here's another miracle. The Lord shows up and starts talking to Mary. And he said, you're highly favored, and the Lord is with you, and you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid. So both of them are afraid when the angel shows up. So, but the miracle is that the angel showed up. And she don't know about this salutation. She ponders it. And he said, don't be afraid because you have found favor in God. You have found favor in God. And behold, you'll conceive in the womb and bear a son. His name shall be called Jesus. Mary said, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, so he's still talking to her. Angel answered, said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And we talked a lot about that last week. And for this reason, the Holy Offspring shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37, listen to this. We talked about this last week, but we're just going a little bit deeper in where we were last week. For nothing will be impossible for God. For nothing will be impossible for God. And Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. See, these are the starting of the miracles of Jesus' birth. Mary was a virgin. She becomes with child. So that's a miracle conception. Angel comes to Joseph in a dream, says, this is of God, marry her. God becomes man at Jesus' birth. So it's a miracle birth. And that's very important. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The angel comes and speaks to the shepherds, lowly people. I mean, the lowest class of people are shepherds. And the angel shows up and tells them, there's some good news that I have to tell you. So it's not just for the elite, not just for those who have prestige, not just for those who have money, not just for those who have status. It's for them, but it's also for the people who has nothing. It is also for them who are lowly in who they are. They don't have a great job, that are just barely getting by. Maybe they're not getting by too good. But the good news is for them as well. So anyway, the angel shows up to the shepherds, and the host of angels shows up, and they start praising God. Now, how about that for a concert? An open-air concert, and the host of angels starts praising God, and you're just standing right there tending all your sheep, but you're like, man, this is absolutely wonderful. See, it's a miracle. Don't discount it. It's a miracle. Wise men find him. That's a miracle in itself. Because the star is a miracle. So the wise men find him. And then they're also warned of God in a dream not to go back that way. That's another miracle. Joseph was also warned in a dream to flee Egypt. And flee to Egypt. So you begin to see all the activity of miracles, all the activities of the supernatural, just because Jesus is coming. That's the point. Jesus has come. He was given to this earth, given to us. And all the miracles that he came with are activated today. And we'll talk about that just for a little bit. But anyway, the angel also tells Mary that Elizabeth is who was barren, is with child, and she's 6 months carrying. And I want you to hear this. There's something special about this when you look deeper. How many of you know when God begins to peel the scriptures back and reveal things to you that are not on the surface? That's called revelation. And I want him to reveal. When I read the scriptures, I always want him to reveal things to me, because my natural mind sometimes can't figure it out. But revelation is always there to help you if you want it. He looks at the testimony of the miracle provides an opening for others to believe for the impossible. Are y'all okay with that? The testimony. See, he gave testimony of Elizabeth. Barren. Not anymore. Barren. But she's with child. 6 months. And here it is. It gives space. See, mine and your testimonies of God healing us, of God delivering us, of God doing something, providing for us. When we give testimony of that, when we tell others of that, it creates space for this person that we're telling, or others that we're telling, that they too can believe God for the impossible. Tell your story. Tell your story. There's other stories. There's a lot of stories that I can tell, but I've got my own as well. Tell your story. I can tell you about how somebody else did this and how somebody else received it, but I can also tell you about what God's done for me. You can too. Tell your story, because it is an opening for others to believe for the impossible. So the problem is, we don't believe for the impossible. We let the impossible cause us to withdraw. We ought to be drawn to the impossible. Okay. Don't be afraid of it. See, miracles are out of the norm. They're outside of the box of normal. They're outside of the box of nature. And they're outside of the box of human power. If you can do it humanly, that's not a miracle. If you can just do it. And because, listen to this, because some people and some organizations or denominations or whatever, because they can't produce it, they will dial down their speaking about miracles because they can't produce them. Neither can we. But don't dial it down. Just keep believing God for the impossible. Don't make your ministry one that is just of human power. Are y'all hearing me? Don't let your ministry be one, or whatever God's given you to do, be something that is just so dependent upon what you can do in the natural. I'm really hoping I'm communicating that right. I really, really am. Because he wants us to have an appetite for the miraculous. Listen to Proverbs 16. Listen to this. Proverbs 16:26. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. What does that mean? That means that if you have an appetite for the miraculous, to see the impossible happen, your hunger will urge you on to continue to believe it, even when you don't see it. Okay. You know, sometimes I get nervous when it gets quiet. And several people have told me, said, don't do that. We're just listening. We're trying to drink it all up. We're trying to drink it in. You know, so we should be drawn to the impossible. We should be drawn to the things that says, okay, it's going to take God to do this. Well, then let's pursue God. Yeah, you get me? Let's pursue God. Let's seek Him first, right? Seek ye first. Seek ye first. And all this other stuff, they're just add-ons. See, we got to do the seeking. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, you seek the giver of the gifts, not the gifts. You know, you hadn't read your Bible. You know, the thing is, you seek the gifts. Why? Because you desire the gifts. Eric, what is a desire that we should have about gifts? Come on, tell me. I want you to stand up. I want you to tell me.
It says to desire earnestly that you may prophesy. It says desire all spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's in 1 Corinthians
14. He read his Bible. You know, but see, the problem is we try to dial back justification of it because we're not seeing it happen. So we try to reduce ministry down to what we can do. Ministry is not about what we can do. Ministry is about what He can do through us. All He's looking for somebody is willing to say, work through me. I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to seek this first. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to seek your kingdom first. The kingdom is seek the governing of God in your life. Let God govern you. Not the circumstances, not other people as far as telling you what God is or isn't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. One of the issues, if we don't seek the kingdom of God, we will seek options. I'm looking. Has any of you ever chosen an option that wasn't God? That wasn't God's way? The reason being is because we start seeking options. We start living a life of options. And He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek ye third, fifth, tenth, first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first to be governed by God. Seek ye first to be led by me and my righteousness and the right standing with God and all of this other stuff that you're wanting to see happen, it'll be added. See, that is God's way of doing things. See, let me get back to Mary here. Mary, it said about Mary that she was highly favored and then she found favor with God. Now, if you'll go back at sometime in March or April on our podcast list, Pastor Terry Wilson did a message on favor, and I'm not gonna mess any of that up because he said it's either you want fair or you want favor. Go back and listen to that. It'll do you well to go back and listen to that one. I think it's in April. But favor was pronounced upon her, and the Bible says that. Not only was she favored, she was highly favored, and then she found favor. So just briefly about favor, you know, favor is a demonstrated delightfulness. See, favor can be interchanged is the right word, with grace. But favor in itself is a demonstrated delightfulness. And it is one of those things that's tangible evidence of God's approval. Amen. Tangible evidence of God's approval. Are y'all hearing me? So, do you think you have favor with God? That's a question. Do you think you have favor with God? Do you think God's favor is upon you? Do you think there's a tangible evidence that he approves of you? Let me tell you this. You know what he does with his sons and daughters? Terry Wilson's over there going, pow, pow. You know? Well, that's true too. But you know what that's evidence of? He loves you. Anyway, where was I going? You just took me in another direction. what was the question I asked you? Evidence. Do you think God approves of you? What does he do with his sons and daughters? Same thing he did with Jesus. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Not in what he did, but who he was. That's open favor. Do you hear me? Open favor is you are my daughter in whom I am well pleased. You are my son in whom I am. Why? Because we're born again of the Spirit of God and corruptible seed. The birthing came from the Spirit. Do you think Jesus' birth was significant? I need more than that. Okay, thank you. Do you think your being born again is significant?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, got a big yes on that. Why is that? Because he has a purpose for you. He has a reason for that. You know, so we need to understand that Mary needed favor. See, why did Mary need the favor? Mary needed a mindset change. She needed a mindset change. Why? Because angel's saying all of this, and she said, I'm pondering, how can this be? I'd never known a man in that way sexually. How can this be? Why? Her mindset's already fixed on the natural. The favor is about to change that. Favor introduces her to grace. Grace is the divine influence and divine power that is in us to be able to do what he's saying for us to go do. Favor is the pathway for us to have grace operating in our life. Her mindset is being changed. Sometimes our mindset needs to be changed because we've got this thing sometimes fixed on what we've heard, what we believe, sometime from religion or something else that's really not from God. Do you think this earth needs miracles today?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, and the Bible talks that signs will follow the believer. It's not that we pursue them, but it is that we are open to them. So she's getting favor pronounced over her life. Proverbs 22:1 says, favor is better than silver and gold. How many of you have got silver and gold? How many of you have got money? Boy, if ain't about five people in here that's got money, we need to pray for a financial breakthrough. Raise your hand. You got money. It's not saying you got a lot, but you got money. You know, see, that's silver and gold. You know what's better than money in your pocket? The favor of God. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make it up. He said it. We got to believe it, right? That's the favor of God. That's in Proverbs 22. Favor sets you up to become who God intended for you to be. It's a setup. Favor is a setup. So when you have favor, know you're getting set up. But see, here's the good thing about it. Who are you getting set up by?
God.
By God. He's setting you up with favor so you can get to be who you need to be. Not who you currently are, but who you need to be. Favor is very, very, very important when it comes to that. The favor comes to you in your life so you can benefit others. If you take the favor and use it only for you, you have misused the favor that God has given. Favor is for you to have it, but it's for you to bless others. Okay. Okay, favor advances us into what God is doing. It advanced her, favor advanced her into what God has spoken and what God is doing. See, if you have the favor of God, and we do have the favor of God, what should we be doing? Advancing. Not withdrawing from impossible, not withdrawing from miracle, not withdrawing, but entering in, advancing. God wants us to grow into what he's doing to the place that pretty soon we'll see him doing it through us. That's what he wants to do with all of us. Favor sets the course for grace to be demonstrated. Favor sets the course. Favor realized is grace released. When you realize favor of God is on your life, then grace is being released. If you think, oh, I just don't know if I really know how I'm going to make this. I just don't understand. God, why am I going through all of this? Have y'all ever been there? Why am I going through all of this? Maybe you have never said that. I have. More than once. God, why am I going through all this? Pastor John don't have to go through half of what I have to go through. So that's me complaining to God. God reminds me, he said, what is that to you? That's what he did. That's what he did with Peter. Peter was complaining and said, why am I going to be going through all of this? What about John? And Jesus says, what is that to you? You follow me. Oh, your job is just to follow me. Your job is just to do what? Quit looking at other people and measuring yourself amongst them. You measure yourself with me. Okay. That's good stuff. It really is. It really is. So favor also produces opportunities. It produces an opportunity. Grace influences you, and grace also empowers you. But it's the favor of God that is bringing you to that place. But see, if you don't see yourself as one of his favorites, how many of you think you're God's favorite? You know, yeah, we all feel that way. Why? Because he's daddy, he's papa. He's yeah. So here we are, we're looking at this and we're saying, okay, God, I'm getting it. I need to have an appetite. I need to have an appetite to see the supernatural. So when he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, you ought to have an appetite for that. Why is that? Because that's what he said. Don't let fear or any of this other stuff, intimidation or any of this other stuff, begin to dial you back when favor's on your life. Just step into it. See, knowing that you've got favor and knowing that your faith is in this thing so much that even when you don't see it at the beginning, you trust him for it. You go ahead and you trust him for it. The end result is in his hand, and we trust him for it. All right, let's get back to this thing about her mindset, because we need to close. Gray Hughes said one time, he said, I'm a hydrant. I'm a fire, like a fire hydrant that is hooked to a garden hose. There's so much in that needs to come out, but yet it's just so restricted that you like you just can't get it all out. But we're getting it out. Watch this, and then we'll see what God wants to do with it. She says, the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Then her mindset, listen, he just got through saying about giving a testimony about Elizabeth. And then he says, and nothing is impossible with God. And then she has a mindset change. She already sees favor. She already sees God at work. And God's already been working in her midst with her cousin. And then she says, let it be done to me according to your word. See, that's her mindset change. What did that? Favor and a testimony of God's grace already doing a miracle. Already doing a miracle. But let's ponder this for a moment and let's study this just a little bit deeper on this thing about nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for the word nothing is made up no thing. No means no. Did y'all get that? I'm gonna take it real slow. No. I'm teasing with you. No means no. Thing, listen to this, is rhema. What is rhema? Rhema is a freshly spoken word of God. It is a word for the moment. It is word that has been spoken for that moment. It is the freshly spoken word of God. That's what Jesus said. That's what you should live by. No man live by bread alone, but by every rhema word, by every word that God is speaking to you. Y'all with me? No rhema, no freshly spoken word of God. You know what the word impossible means? It means without ability. Impossible means it's without ability. So how can you say this without being harmful to the original text? Here's how you can say that. No rhema, no freshly spoken word of God will be without its own ability to perform it. No freshly spoken word of God will be without the ability to perform. Be it unto me as you have spoken. The mindset change, yep, I believe that. And I'm saying this freshly spoken word that you've, and she said, this freshly spoken word that's been spoken to me will not be without God's power to perform it. He looks over his word to perform it. So you begin to see this thing of what God is doing in our midst, even during this season with miracles, this is something that is eye-opening. It's an awakening. It's an awakening to the supernatural of God. Yeah. Yeah. So we look at this thing, no freshly spoken word, no word spoken for the moment will lack the ability to be performed. He is that good. We say, I am living in the goodness. I am living in his goodness. I am living in his kindness. How many of you are? You're living in the goodness of God. You're living in the kindness of God. We should not be one of those people that starts dumbing down the gospel of power. The gospel is the gospel of power. The church needs to call for the gospel of salvation, the gospel of power. That's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to change things around. How many of you experienced the miracle of your salvation? That's a miracle. Think about where you were. Think about what you used to do. Think about how you used to be and how you used to live. And all of a sudden, God speaks to your heart. God speaks a rhema for you at that very moment. And then you respond to it. And all of a sudden, you're one of his. You're one of his. Why is that? Because all we got to do is respond to his word. respond to it. You know, he must do all the work all the time or it doesn't get done. Because as I said before, we don't know what we're doing. Why is it? Would you look, well, you can try to formulate God, but he ain't going to be formulated. Just as soon as you dot, you put the period at the end and dot the I and cross the T, he's already moved on. He's already showed another way of who he is, another layer of who he is. You're not gonna box him up. You know, y'all remember the Taco Bell lizard? No, it's the dog, Taco Bell dog. Yeah, and he's trying to capture Godzilla. Y'all remember that? Yeah, we played that here one time. And he's got this box. He got this box propped up with a stick and a string tied to it. And he says, "Here, lizard, lizard, lizard." And then, boom, boom. And this big old shadow. And he said, "I think I need a bigger box." Yeah, see, we do that with God. We got him all boxed up, and then all of a sudden he goes, "I think I need a bigger box. I think I need another mindset change about who God is, what God can do, in me, what God can do for me, what God can do through me." Okay. Time's just ticking in. You know what? A song just came to my mind. Let's see, should I sing it? No. What is that song? "All I Need Is a Miracle." All I need is a miracle. All I need is you. Okay, let's move it right along. Moving right along. See, we get to cooperate with God and everything he wants to do, but what we don't have the right to do is change the assignment. We like to change the assignment because it fits us better. No, don't change the assignment. Just follow God. And if he wants to work miracles through you, let him work miracles. Don't be afraid of them. Sometimes we'll follow God and look foolish. But I'd rather look foolish following God than I had looking smart and not follow God at all. You understand what I'm saying? It's okay. Just surrender. You know, it's surrender. See, we got one over there that's happy now. Yeah. So let me finish with this. Don't reduce your ministry to only what you can do. But we're not ready. These guys up here, they'll rehearse songs, and you know, they could rehearse songs. How many times can y'all rehearse? I can rehearse all day long and never play them in front of you. See, God has us in a rehearsal of living his life through us. See, we need to put it out for everybody to be able to see. By the way, it's one thing about Mary's favor. It did not stay hidden. If I have to explain it, it just really doesn't have the effect. It really doesn't. All right. Last thing I'm going to talk about is this. I can't make the miracles happen. You can't make the miracles happen. But you and I can yield and surrender to the miracle maker and surrender to the place that it will give place and space for the miracle to manifest, to be shown by our surrender. Not be afraid of it. Just let God do it. Don't be afraid to pray for people. Don't be afraid to lay hands on them. That's what he said. That's what he said to go do. One last thing. The Bible says that there was no room in the inn. No room in the inn. I just found out something great yesterday. I studied this phrase instead of just read it and move on like I normally do sometimes. I studied this phrase, no room in the inn. You don't know what it means? Come back next week and we'll take... No. I'm messing with you. No room means no license and no permission. No license and no permission. How about in the inn? The inn is a place of lodging. Let me tell you what this means. This says there is no license or no, listen to this, no license or no permission given for you at this time. No license for a place to birth the miracle. No license, no place, no permission has been granted for the miracle to be birthed. Boy, that touched my heart in such a way that, Lord, I don't want to be one of those that says there's no room in the inn. There's no room in my life for you to start working miracles right now. So how about you? Is there a place inside you for God to start doing miracles, for God to do miracles in you and through you and by you? You know, when I say by, he uses, I mean, he's the miracle maker. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. But we need to pursue that and bring it to everybody that needs that and not be afraid of it. So are there room? Have you granted permission for him to do miracles in your life? For to birth something that he really wants you to birth that is of him? That will actually impact others by you giving it place, by you giving it a license, by you giving it and granting space for it to happen. That's something to ponder. Because I honestly believe if we get to the place to where we have the appetite to see that happen in and through our lives, that we will impact others. Because I'm telling you, miracles drew people to Jesus by the thousands. Nothing wrong with miracles when they're God. Okay, let's stand to our feet. Are you favored of God?
Yes.
Do you have the favor of God on your life, in your life?
Yes.
So do I. See, that is the doorway for his grace. That is the roadway. That's the landing strip for grace to come and start working and doing in us what we can't do when he asks us to do something. When he asks you to do something, we can't do it on our own. He has to empower us to do it. That is called grace. All right. Father, we thank you today for your presence, your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit leading us to the place of understanding that we can grab hold of and we'll say, Lord, I want this in my life. I have this desire to see you operating as you want to operate fully. And in our being, we grant you room. We grant you space. We grant you permission to work that miracle in me, for me, and through me to benefit other people. So I receive that presence today. I receive from you, Lord, your ability to do great and mighty things in my life to benefit other people. Lord, we just yield to that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You're liberty to go. We have Wednesday night down at the Family Life Center, 6 o'clock, finger foods. Is that it? Yeah. You got what? I can't hear you. Gifts. Oh, hey. Oh, everybody, everybody. Whoop. Who can whistle? All right. Hold up just a second. When you come, bring a gift. Everybody brings a gift. If you have a family of four, bring four gifts. Dollar or $2. That's it. No more. Just a dollar or two. Because we'll have a game we're going to play with the gifts on Wednesday. Everybody bring a gift. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah. All right. No Sunday school next Sunday. No Bible study next Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.